I say aloha kakayaka, let's say aloha, like we're in Hawaii, all right? Aloha kakayaka.
Aloha.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's glad to have you guys here today. We got a lot of special guests. We got from West Virginia, South Carolina. There we go. And then North Carolina too, right? Is it really close? Well, I'm United States, I'm geographically illiterate. I only know Hawaii. And so if you tell me where this place is or that place, then I'll tell you where it is in Hawaii. But for the United States, not so much. But we're glad to have you guys here today. And then we got my family all the way from the Big Island of Hawaii. So all the way from Hilo, getting ready for camp. We got camp this week already. It's amazing. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans chapter number 12, and I'll just get right into it, because sometimes I just get in the way. So what I want to do is give you the word and let the word speak to your heart, and hope it'll be a blessing for you today. Romans chapter number 12 is where we're going to be at, and I want to talk to you today on the matter of surrender and how we've been talking about, you know, what makes a difference, and it comes from the heart, from Jude 22, about some having compassion making a difference. And I thought of it to go along with the theme of impact with Pastor's vision for the year. I thought of things that make a difference. And the Lord put Romans chapter 12 as a chapter that made a difference in my life. And I just wanted to teach through it for the remainder of the time that I have here for the summer. And just so happened it was today. And I thought about it as we prepare for camp, that word surrender. That word, if you let it get a hold of you, it'll make a difference in your life. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. If you have your Bible, read along with me. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'll read that first verse once again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this Sunday school hour. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we can gather around it. We thank you that we live in a country, as we celebrated this past week, that we have the freedom and the liberty to do so, Lord. And I thank you for these dear people. May you empower me by your spirit to teach your word with liberty and to rightly divide it. And then I pray, Lord, for the hearts of the hearers. May it be something that would draw them closer to you, Lord. And I'll thank you for all that you do. Bless camp that's coming up this week. Be with the preacher. And be with all the logistics as well. And work in the hearts of the teens. In your precious name I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll declare to you that a life surrendered to God is a life that would be lived with no regrets. You know, you think about it, for many older people that come to the end of life. And I was watching a video maybe 2 weeks ago. And it was about people over 100 years old. Things that they wish they would have done. And, you know, many of them talked about things that they regretted. But I'll declare to you, if you live your whole life, surrender to God, you'll live a life with no regrets. You see, the word surrender is often a scary word. You know, when I think about it, I get scared at times, like, oh, man, what does that entail? You know, the illustration was given before. It's when you surrender to God, it's like signing a blank check. You sign the bottom. And you say, God, you write in the amount, whatever it is. And for many of us, or for me specifically, that amount wouldn't be too much if you wrote it on there. But a life surrendered to God is not as scary as it sounds. And I'm reading a book right now, and I mentioned it last week. And it's going through, it outlines the book of Ecclesiastes. And you think about you think about Solomon, and you think about his life, and he had it all. He had riches, he had everything we could ever wish for as in this world. Yet, through it all, he says, altogether it's vanity. And you see Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, and his life was lived for himself and not for God. And a life lived for self will be a life full of regret. A life full of, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have just did that for God. And at the end of our life, which one do you want to be? Would you want to be like Solomon? Or would you want to live a life that's surrendered to God? A life that is yielded to His Spirit and empowered by Him to do His work here in this world. That we would make a difference not only here and now, but also for all of eternity. You see, this life, as the quote goes, only one life that soon will pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. And it's only when we live a surrendered life that we could live a life that God can use. A life that would be empowered by His Spirit to do His work for His glory. When we think of surrender, what comes to mind? Does the pain of giving up something that you cling to so dearly, does it seem miserable? Does it seem junk? And rather, you would live in your own way and doing what you want to do? If we do life our way, we find out after it's not so great. You see, but I want to encourage you to trust God. I want to encourage you to yield to Him and to live your life surrendered to Him. Listen to what Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 10 says. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And in that verse, I thought about it before. You know, we have a plan. The Bible says it's not bad to make goals. But your goals ultimately have to be yielded to what God's will is. And I think about it, we can only see so far ahead. You know, you think about the horizon, we can only see maybe 10 miles offshore. But God can see to the other side. God can see all the way to the mainland if you're headed to the U.S. God sees the beginning from the end. And he says in this verse, he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God knows the beginning from the end, and our plan is not, we can't, but God can. And that's one reason to trust Him, one reason that we should be comforted to surrender to His will, surrender to what He wants, because He knows what's going to happen. If I were to define surrender to you, it would be this. Surrender is giving up your rights and giving them to God. It's like that blank check. You see, giving up our way and embracing His will. Surrender is giving up our way, what we want, what we feel, and what we think, and embracing His will and saying, "Lord, it's not what I want. It's what you want. It's not what I think, but what do you think about it? It's not how I feel, but it's how do you feel on this matter?" You see, that is what surrender is. And I ask you this question, are you surrendered today? Whose life are you living? Are we living our life the way we want, doing what we feel and how we think is right? Or are we surrendered to God and asking Him what His will is? And seeking His opinion on the matter. And searching for His blessing in our life. I want to look quickly at today four characteristics of surrender from Romans chapter number 12. And I believe it'll challenge us to live a life more surrendered to God. A life that would be yielded to God, that God would use us in a way that we could on our own. A way that at the end of our life we would have no regret. Because who wants to have regret at the end of their life? You know, sometimes I think about it when I have an opportunity to witness to somebody and then I don't do it and I feel so terrible and I regret it. I'm like, man, what if that person got in a car accident? You know, what if that person, what if I never get to speak to them again? But when we're surrendered to God, we yield to His Spirit. And in other words, surrender is being yielded. Surrender is being submitted to God. So let's look quickly at four characteristics of surrender from Romans chapter 12. I want you to notice in verse number 1, it says, surrender introduces salvation. Look at what it says. It says, I beseech you, therefore. That word beseech means to beg. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Look at that phrase, by the mercies of God. Surrender introduces salvation. You see, surrender begins at salvation. You see, no one comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and gets saved and trust Christ as their Savior without first surrendering their rights. If you have your Bibles, go to Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. Start in verse 31. And this is where Jesus is giving the cost of discipleship and what it costs to follow Him. And the second illustration, or the first one we'll use in a little bit, but I wanted to look at the second one. And He says, or what? King going to make war against another king? Sitteth not down first and considereth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. And you think about it. In Ephesians chapter number 2, the Bible says, in you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, who once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And it says in that chapter that we were enemies, that we were in the kingdom of darkness. And if you're not saved in here today, the Bible says you're in the kingdom of darkness. The Bible says that you are not on God's side. You're on the enemy's side. And you think about it when it comes to salvation and it comes to surrender. And you look at verse number 31 of Luke. And it says, what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first? So he doesn't take counsel and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. And to think that, you know, that king that has only 10,000 is going to war against a king who has 20,000. And you think about us, we don't even have 10,000. And against God, you know, God has way more than 20,000 angels and soldiers. And to think about if we were to wage battle, you know, Pastor's been going through it with Armageddon and how the whole world's going to come against the Lord Jesus Christ and you know His saints, and He's going to destroy them by the breath of His mouth. And you think about those who don't trust in Christ are going to be with the nations. Those who don't trust in Christ and don't surrender to Him at salvation are going to not be on the winning side. You know, we sing the song, for I'm on the winning side, on the winning side. No, you know, out in sin no longer will I abide. But I ask you this question, are you on the winning side today? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Have you surrendered to Him which brought you salvation? You see, the Bible says, if you look at it, in the Lamentations chapter number 3 and verse 22, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are made new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And as Romans chapter number 12, it said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. It is by the mercies of God, for it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are made new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And you think about that. And you think about how long-suffering the Lord was to us. And as Romans 5:8, it says, for God commendeth, He demonstrated, He showed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. and His mercy toward us was not, I'll wait till you get it right. I'll wait till you stop sinning. He said, no. While you're yet in your sin, I'll die for you. While you're yet living the life that of total rebellion against me, I'll give my Son for you so that you could be set free, so that you could have salvation, so that you could have forgiveness. And it is of the Lord's mercies that should cause us to surrender to God, because He introduces salvation into our life. Think about Titus 3:5 and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. I love those verses, and I'll read them for you. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And many of us know this. Ephesians 2:8, it says this, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it is of the Lord's mercies, the Bible says, that we are not consumed. And that mercy and that goodness that God has bestowed upon us, that space of grace, if you'd call it, that was introduced at salvation, should be the first reason why we surrender to Him. And ought to be a motivator to surrender to Him, saying, God, You love me so much that You gave Your only begotten Son. Why can't I give to You my life? Why can't I give to You all that I have, all that You ask for? But oftentimes we get in the way. And the Bible says that, you know, whatever we feed more is whatever is going to be in control. We can feed this flesh or we can feed the spirit. And I ask you this question. Are you surrendered to God today in salvation? Have you had that date, time, and place where you trusted Him as your Savior, where you knew that you were on your way to heaven? Do you know today, if you're to die right now, are you 100% for sure that you'd make it to heaven? Because the Bible says we can know. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And God wants us to surrender to Him first at salvation. But I want you to notice, secondly, still in verse number 1, it says that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice, surrender involves sacrifice. You see, the surrender here means to give up and to hand over, as I said, all rights to the One who gave it all for us. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice, it's not just a living sacrifice, but I think it's a sacrifice out of love. You know, and as we realize the mercies of God and how He did everything required to save us, and that love should motivate us to sacrifice anything that He asks us to sacrifice, because we love Him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth me, because we thus judge that one died for all, then we are all dead. The love of Christ should constrain us, should motivate us, should prod us. That when He says, son or daughter, this is not pleasing to me, I don't want you to do it. Oh Lord, it's going to be hard. I don't think I can. When we live a life surrendered to God, even though we may not have the power to give it up, whatever it is today, if we yield to Him, if we have the heart to and say, God, I can't, but You can. You got to help me. I want to please You. I want to love You. I want to surrender to You, and I know it's going to take sacrifice, but You're worth it. I'm going to give it up to You. I need Your help. You know, I think about it after I first got saved. I was saved out of the world, and I used to be a pack-a-day cigarette smoker at 18 years old. Really bad. Really bad. But, you know, that was the hardest thing for me to give up. And slowly but surely, and I find the more you fall in love with Jesus, the easier it is to surrender to Him. You know, the more you love someone and they ask you to do something, the more you're going to want to obey them. And you think about that, you know, with those who have children, especially in the teenage years. And I remember being in the teenage years, and I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, for all the rebellion. And but, you know, if you have your teenager's heart, yeah, they're still going to give you a hard time, but they're going to want to obey you out of love. You know, and you think about that. But long story short is, that was the hardest thing. The Lord put that on my heart. You know, I heard a preacher say, if you smoke cigarettes, it's not gonna send you to hell, but it's gonna sure smell like you've been there. But for me, that was the hardest thing that I had to give up, and I really needed the Lord's strength, and He put it on my heart. He said, you know, my body is now His temple. And I was like, Lord, I got to stop doing this. This is destroying Your temple. But I couldn't do it on my own. But what I did do is I surrendered it to Him, and I said, God, if You don't want me to do it, I don't want to do it. But I need Your help. Because I can't do it on my own. And surrender at the heart of it is just being yielded. It's being as Jesus was meek. You know, I heard it said, meekness is not weakness, it's simply power under control. You know, and the illustration given was like a horse, a wild horse that's not tamed and needs to be broken. You know, and you think about it, whatever they do to break the horse, and finally the horse yields to the master. All that 2,000 pounds of strength controlled by one little rope, one little bridle and bit in the horse's mouth. Why? Because the horse has become yielded to the master. And I think for us that's the hardest thing. We're like a bucking bronco. We're like, get off of us. We want to run free, and we want to do whatever we want, when we want it, how we want it, where we want it. But surrender is being like that horse, and when the master pulls the reins, you stop. When he says go, you go. When he says turn, we turn. And it's a life of obedience to the Lord Jesus. But that surrender involves sacrifice. Listen to what Matthew chapter 16 says. It says, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. And you think about that, and I thought about it, it's like, man, if I thought it was being, you know, dealing with salvation before, but it says if you give your life for God, if you live a life of surrender towards Him, you'll find it. You'll find the meaning that you're searching for. You'll find that what your soul is longing for. You know, and then I go back to Ecclesiastes, how Solomon was always longing for something, and he had it all, and he still was longing. And at the end of the book, it says to fear God and to keep His commandments, is the last few verses. And that is the whole duty of man. And it says there in that verse, it says, whosoever will save his life will lose it. If we keep it, and we say, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, the Bible says we'll lose it. That means we won't have that joy and peace. We'll live a life full of regret at the end of it. But if we lose our life, that is, if we give our life for His name's sake, and also in another gospel it says, and for the gospel's sake, the same shall find it. We'll find the meaning of life. We'll find what it means to live, and the true fulfillment, and that true joy, and that lasting happiness that this world, and we so often try to drink from the well of this world. But only the well of living waters can fulfill that. But surrender involves sacrifice. It involves giving up something for God when He puts it on your heart. So I ask you this. Is God calling you to give up something today? Maybe He has in the past. Look back and rejoice to it. And remember how hard it was, but the reward that it brought. Or maybe He's put something on your heart that you got to give up. It may not be something crazy, but it may be something small. Maybe something you got to give in. Maybe it's sponsoring someone to camp. I don't know what it is. Whatever the Lord's putting on your heart, I've been learning you surrender. You know, and like the president at my Bible college, he says, obey every impulse of the Spirit. You know, and we ought to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and listen to Him when He calls, and be willing to do whatever He asks us to do when He does, and to obey immediately. But it does involve sacrifice. But look at with me, thirdly, still in verse number one, surrender initiates service. Surrender initiates service. You see, by the mercies of God that we present our bodies a living sacrifice,
holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. As we live a life of surrender and we let the Word of God dwell in our heart richly and we let the Spirit of God move in our life, naturally, we'll want to serve Jesus. More and more and more will we want to please Him. The more we fall in love with Him, you know, you think about good news, and so that's what the gospel means. The gospel means good news, and you and I alike, so often it's like, I got to share that. And I remember when I first got saved, it was just like, I remember my dad, I would go to Walmart and we would go shopping and I would just be witnessing to people. And one time he was outside of Walmart. And he's like, he rolled down the window. He's like, hurry up. I'm going to leave you here if you don't hurry up. And I was witnessing to it. I was like, wait, one more second. And why? Because it was good news. And it still is good news. You know, and we ought to be about the Master's business. But I think with time, we get comfortable. And I think with time, we get complacent and then we forget. You know, I just was thinking about where God brought me from the last couple days. And, you know, I forget where I was 4 years ago. I forget that I was living a life totally contrary to the life that God has, you know, created me in today. And, you know, molding me and shaping me into. And we forget. And we lose our heart for serving God because we lose our passion for God. But we got to get it back. God has called us to make a difference in this world. God has called us as the light bearers to take the light of the gospel to those who have darkness only. But it starts with surrender. Starts with being yielded to the Spirit when He says, hey, go give that person a tract. It's the hardest thing to do is to yield, but it's the most fruitful thing to do. It's the most rewarding thing. It's the thing that you won't have any regrets. It's going to be, oh, I feel like I'm going to die if I do this. When you do it, it's just, oh, it wasn't that bad. Let's do it again. You know, and it's primarily in the area of service, in the area of soul winning, in the area of giving the gospel out to those who need it. You see, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that the Bible says believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. But are you giving it to those who need it? Are you surrendered to the Spirit? Are you surrendered to service of God? I think of Ephesians chapter 2, after you get saved, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Verse number 10 says this. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. And I ask you this question. Are you surrendered to Him in service today? Are you yielded to His Spirit when He puts it on your heart to witness to someone? Are you gospel-centered in your mind? When we walk through this world, it's so easy to forget that there are people all around us who don't know Christ, who don't have the treasure that we have, who don't have the relationship and that intimate walk with Jesus that we have. But we ought to be reminded that we can give it to them. And God offers it that whosoever will, let them come. And we ought to give it. We ought to first be surrendered. For surrender initiates service. Are you surrendered to service and to giving out the gospel? Whether it's even cleaning a bathroom. I don't know what it is. But as Auntie Billy tells me, you do it unto the Lord. And I remember my mom and dad telling me that when they told me to wash the dishes when I was 12 years old. Just do it unto the Lord, Mike. And I was like, you do it unto the Lord. But after I got saved, then I really realized what that meant. When you do it unto God, you do it out of a heart of gratitude. A heart of love and a heart that says, God, you gave to me. I just want to do it for you. I want to give back to you because of all that you gave to me. And we ought to be surrendered in our service to God. So are you surrendered today in your service? I want you to notice lastly, verse number 2. Will encompass it all. Surrender demands separation. Surrender demands separation. Look at verse 2 with me. Let's read it. It says, "But, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect." What is that last three words? Will of God. The will of God. You see, if we allow surrender to impact us in salvation, and we give in, and we let, and we give the sacrifices that God asked for us, and we allow it to initiate service in our life, look at what it does lastly. It requires salvation. It doesn't, it's not demanding it, but I guess it would say it would result in it. You see, the more you love Jesus, the more you draw closer to Him, the more you learn of His ways and you delight yourself in the Lord, the Bible says He'll give you the desires of your heart. You see, but it depends on who you delight yourself in, and those desires will follow. If we're delighting ourselves in the world, in sin and wickedness and greed and money or finance, whatever it is, if we're delighting ourselves in that, that's going to be the desire of our heart. But when we delight ourselves in the Lord, He's going to change our desires to want what He wants. You know, you think about it, 4 years ago, before I got saved, I desired to get high, to go down to the beach, to party, to look with lust, whatever it was. Not to say that those things never come back and tempt you. But when you get saved, and when you surrender to God, He changes your desires. And it starts from the inside out. You know, it's not do this, do that, do this, and then you'll have a clean heart. But come to Him. Drink of the well of living waters. Experience salvation. Surrender to His will. And love Jesus. And the more you fall in love with Him, the more He molds and shapes your heart. From the inside out. And eventually it's, man, that music that I used to listen to. Man, those words. I never noticed them before. I never noticed how wicked and how sensual they were. Man, what I watch on TV, what I look at on the internet. Man, that's not what a child of God would be watching. Man, those friends, all they do is swear and cuss and makes me want to do it. They're not very good friends. Why am I hanging out with them? Every time I hang out with them, they make me not want to be like Jesus. They draw me further from Him. And I don't think I should hang out with them anymore. And that becomes your heart. It's not no going to the movies or no this or no that. It's I don't want to do this because it's not pleasing to my Lord. I don't want to listen to this. I don't want to watch this. I don't want to associate with these people. Not that you're better than them, but just that you understand that we're influenced very easily. And we understand that nearness is likeness, as one of my professors say. And it's true. And as the Bible says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Or bad company, in other words, corrupt good character. And you want to live for God, but you're around the wrong company, don't think you're going to be living a holy life. Because we are, I was going to say we are who we eat, but that's not. No, we are who we hang around with. How about you today? Is there somebody, there's something, someone, you got to separate from today? You see, when we're separated, separation is not, oh man, I can't do those things in the world anymore. I'm separated from this. Oh, it's so terrible. It's such a junk life. But when we're separated, when it calls us to be separate from the world, it calls us, we're not just separated from the world, but we're separated to Christ. And it's enjoying His presence and delighting yourself in Him, as I said. That you don't want those things. It's like, man, that stuff is just temporary. This is pleasures forevermore. We ought to surrender. And that surrender implies separation. What do you need to separate from today? I don't know what it is, but may the Lord speak to your heart. As I close, I just want you to be reminded of separation. Not separation. Surrender. Too many S's. I guess it's a Baptist thing, just alliterating, huh? No, it starts with salvation. It requires sacrifice, yet it leads to service. And it's responded. And it's response to separation. Where are you today? What area is it that you need to surrender? Maybe it's in salvation. Maybe if you're to die today, you don't even know that Christ is your Lord, and that heaven would be your home. Maybe it's in sacrifice. Maybe there's something that the Lord's been putting on your heart and saying, my son, my daughter, just want you to give it over. But we've been, no, I like my sin. I like whatever it is. Maybe it's in sacrifice. Maybe it's in service. Maybe God wants you to get involved. Maybe He wants you to serve in your local church more. Maybe even just to carry around tracts and to be a witness and be a light. Or maybe it's by separation. Maybe it's somebody you got to stop hanging around with. Maybe it's something you got to stop watching. Maybe it's, I don't know, you fill in the blank. But there's always something. So what is it for you today? As we go into camp, especially as I speak to the teens, may you have a heart of surrender. Be yielded to God. And say, God, whatever you have for my life, I want that too. You see, because the mistake that I made growing up as a teen was I did what I wanted to do. And I found out that it doesn't work too well. And many of us have found out the hard way it doesn't work too well when we do it our way. But when we yield to God and we surrender to Him and we say, God, as Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. May that be the heart of every teen that goes up to camp this week. May that be the heart of our church. Not my will, but thine be done, Lord. And that is a heart of surrender. So where is it and what is it for you today? I don't know what it is. But maybe God spoke to your heart. Is it in salvation? Is it in sacrifice? Is it in service? Or is it in separation? How about you ask Him as we go to Him in prayer? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for who You are. I pray, Lord, You would help us in this room to be surrendered, sold out for You. That we would not live half-hearted Christian lives. And I ask Your forgiveness for when we do, when I do, Lord. And I pray You would help us to be sold out. Pray You'd reveal Yourself to us that we would understand how great of a God we surrender to. I pray You'd prepare the teens' hearts as they go up to camp. May You work in a mighty way in them. May they make decisions that would last a lifetime, would change the course and path of their life that they're on now. I pray that as well for us here in this room, for adults. Whatever it is, Lord God, put it on our hearts if there is an area that we need to surrender to You. I thank You for all that You do. May You bless the service to come. May You glorify Your name. May You be with us. And thank You for all of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Service will start in 8.